Tonight we're going to talk about David's mighty men. And I'll be giving you the meanings of the names. I wanted to show this to you. I think Scott was asking me to put this online. It's a Dictionary of Scripture Proper Names by J.B. Jackson. And it's got a lot of descriptions of just the names. It tells you what they mean. And Brother McLam gave this to me 5/20/2012, and it's been a treasure. I like it because a lot of times the Strong's doesn't always give you clear. I guess it's because it's all Greek or Hebrew, I don't know. But. Okay, 1 Chronicles 11:10. On the wrong way here. It says, "These also are the chief of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom, and with all Israel, to make him king, according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel." And I think there's 7 important words there, according to the word of the Lord. And then we'll go, I just wanted to say that because that's important. There's many times that it was either at the word of the Lord or according to the word of the Lord that things were said, so. But I think that also goes along with these mighty men and the names. If we'll go to 1 Samuel 16, and I'm going to read several verses here, and then we'll get to our study. And you're going to think this is kind of weird, these first few verses I read, but. 1 Samuel 16. "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." And then we'll go to verse 7. "But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him." And this was one of the sons of Jesse that he had refused. "For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." And then we'll read verses 11 and 12. "And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Pardon me. And then we'll go to 1 Samuel 22. And I'll explain in a little bit why I read those verses about David. And verses 1 and 2. "David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And every one that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, and every one that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men." Now, the reason I brought up David and these scriptures about David was he doesn't get a lot of mention about himself and his mighty men. I mean, we read, you know, how they gathered to him and everything. And so the first name that we have is David, and his name means loving. And I thought about that as these men gathered to him, that one of the reasons they did was because he loved them, and they loved him. And I thought, too, when David was in the palace with Saul, and he was behaving himself wisely, but he would go in and out, and he'd go out with the people and come in, and the people loved him. Well, that's because he loved them. He wasn't just some, you know, saying, well, I'm anointed king, you know, so I'm just going to stay in the palace and, you know, look down on you people. He went out and hung with them, so to speak. Well, I thought about these guys and what a bunch of misfits that gathered unto David. No one else would have them. They were probably looking to throw some of them in jail. But David, loving David, the man after God's own heart, knew that he that is forgiven much loveth much. And not many mighty, I believe that each one of us was in distress. I sure felt trapped and helpless in the world before I came to the Lord. I had a debt of sin that I could never pay, and I knew it. I knew as a kid that I was a sinner and I was on my way to hell. And then I think we were all discontent. I know I was. I was going to the bars to get drunk and doling out the cocaine to get high, and nothing worked. And then I walked into this place. Pardon me. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians 1. Yeah, I'm kind of all over the place. 26 and 29, or through 29. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. I think that's the New Testament version of the Old Testament version of the mighty men. All right. Back to 1 Samuel 22. And I'm just turning there because I will be referring to it back and forth here. And okay, we'll start with that first. The first word I want to go into is Adullam, the cave of Adullam. And that word means, and I got that from the Jackson's dictionary, it means a testimony to them. And I looked up cave just for fun, and it's a cavern as dark, or a den or a hole. And I thought, you know, they were in a dark time, these men. They'd all gathered down, living in a cave. Not many friends. Yet, there was a testimony. And I thought of where I was when Jesus found me. I was in a very dark place, and I just had to happen to have a couple of brothers, one sitting right down here, that would witness to me at work. And I appreciate those two brothers. They'll never know, I don't think, how much. But they witnessed to me and were gracious. That was, I think, the most important thing. They were gracious. But I think of the precious people that God has chosen and people that the world looks down upon. I don't think many here have much in the way of accolades, but I do know what we, each and every one here has, is that we fell in love with Jesus, just like those mighty men fell in love with David. And why? Because he first loved us. Okay, that word distress in the Strong's, and that's number H4689, and it means a narrow place, confinement or disability, anguish, distress, straitness, constricted and difficult. That was me. Debt is H5378, and it means to lend on interest, debt, or give of usury. And if you talk to these money gurus, they always tell you, don't get into debt. You know, it makes you a slave, and it does. And that was me. Discontented, Strong's H4751. It means bitter, angry, chafed, and great heavy discontentment. And I thought I was so discontented at that time that I wanted to die. I was ready almost to kill myself. I'm glad I chickened out. And I want to turn to Psalm 57. I'm going to read that because it was from this experience in the cave at Dullahan that he wrote this psalm. And it's only 10 verses. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory, awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. That's the testimony of the cave of Dullahan. Praise to the Lord, giving him the glory for his keeping, for all he's done. Okay. So now we're going to 2 Samuel 23. Okay. And I'm going to read verses 8 through 12 to start. I got 24 there. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Esnite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop. There was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Now don't get panicked, I'm only going to do six of the mighty men tonight. So there was over 30. So. Okay. Tachmonite in Strong's is H8461, and it means sagacious. I had to look that up. That means, I thought it was a cactus. That means having or showing keen mental discernment and good judgment, or shrewd. And the Jackson's dictionary defines it as, thou wilt make me wise. So we know that he was wise. Adino means his ornament. And I thought, in 1 Peter 3:3-4, go ahead and turn there. I'm getting there. Okay, it says, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. I also thought of I'm going to read the next name, Esnite, and that means to be sharp or strong or a spear. Now Adino, his ornament, who was wise, sat in the chief seat. And I'm just going to throw this in, that word sat, I don't know why I looked it up, but one of the meanings of that is to marry. So I thought that was just kind of neat. But I was thinking, as I thought of this, of the ornaments of rank that our military wear. You know, you got the private, it's got one stripe, and then the sergeant, three, and it goes on and on up to 5 stars. And they move up in rank because of their devotion to the service, their loyalty to the country, victories they've had. And Adino was wise in the word. And I thought of that spear, that the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. And so he knew how to wield the word, or you know, swing that sword. And he proved it. He slew 800 at one time with his spear. 800. Wouldn't you say that he was more than a conqueror? Okay, this is one of my favorites, and pastors mentioned this guy before. Eleazar, the son of Dodo. I thought that was pretty good. And once we get into it, you'll find out why I don't mind being called a dodo. Eleazar is number H449. It means God is helper. And dodo is number H1734 and means his beloved. And I thought, how often are we made fun of for loving Jesus? And, you know, it's getting worse and worse these days that, you know, the hatred of Christians and, you know, it's okay to make fun of a Christian, but not a Muslim, you know. But I don't care because I'm his beloved. And, you know, our day is coming. There's coming that day that he's going to make them that are of the synagogue of Satan bow down and worship and know that he loves us. Now, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and clave unto his sword. And I thought, you know, he was yielding that sword of the word. And that's kind of the way I felt this past few days, because I was studying about three different things until I landed on this. I don't know why I do that, but I'll say, well, maybe it's this, you know. So it kind of clave under my hand, that Bible there. But the other sweet thing here is, you know, what are we told here in this verse? It says, the Lord wrought a great victory that day. And anyone that knows God and loves God knows that he's the one that brings the victory. So Eleazar knew two things. He knew God was his helper and that he was God's beloved. And I thought in the Song of Solomon 7:10, I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. Okay. And I want to go to the next. Oh, no, we're still in those three. Okay. The next one is Shammah, the son of Agi the Hararite. And I apologize if I say these names wrong. And I got these meanings out of the Jackson's dictionary. But Shammah means desolation. Hararite means the cursor. Well, what are those doing in there? But Agi means I shall increase. And this is just a wonderful testimony of the grace of God. And I believe that Shammah was probably this bad of a man before he got saved, you know. He had nothing to bring. He probably didn't. I know he didn't have anything to bring to David. And it sounds like he was maybe a sailor, a curser. He could probably cuss like one anyway. But you know, as soon as we get saved, God brings the increase. And in Job 8:7, it says, though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end shall greatly increase. And that's the way we all start out. We all start out small, and he increases us, and daily. Okay, and we'll read, well, I want to read 2 Samuel 23:15. And then we'll go into our next three guys. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the Philistines had made a garrison in the city of Bethlehem, and David just wanted something familiar. And I believe we all know that story. And then we'll read verses 18 through 23 of this same chapter. "And Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief among three. And he lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them and had the name among three. Was he not most honorable of three? Therefore he was their captain. Howbeit, he attained not unto the first three. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in time of snow. And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man, and the Egyptian had a spear in his hand. But he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. These things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among three mighty men. He was more honorable than the 30, but he attained not to the first three, and David set him over his guard." Okay. Abishai is number H52 in the Strong's, and it means father of gift. And Joab is number H3097, and that means Jehovah is father. And Zeruiah is number H6870, and it means wounded. And in the Strong's, it's pierce ye Yah. I did want to mention that Zeruiah was not a father. She was a mother. And she was the mother of Joab and Abishai and Asahel. And I believe, from what I could figure out, and talking with Ty a while back, that she was, of course, David's sister, but not of David's mother. So Jesse must have had another wife before, or after, or during. I don't know. But I thought I just had to put that in there, but I thought of this, and what a wonderful plan, picture of the plan of salvation we have here. We have the Father of gift, and John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And that's not the only gift he's given, but he gives a lot of gifts. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. And he freely gives us all things to enjoy. And then in 1 John 3:2, I could probably quote this, but I'm going to go ahead and read it. And this is going along with Jehovah his Father. It says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And now are we the sons of God. And then in Isaiah 53:5. And this is speaking of wounded or pierced Yah. And it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. And I just thought that was just so wonderful how God put that in there and in these names. Now, Abishai, again, more than a conqueror, he lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them. These guys knew the word. Okay, then we go on to Benaiah. It's number H1141. It means Yah has built, or God has built. Jehoiada is number H3077. It means Jehovah known. And Kabzeel is number H6909. It means God has gathered. And we can't do anything without God. Without him, we can do nothing. He's the one that builds the house. Scott, many years ago, I think, did a study on he hath built a house. I remember that. And so all the glory goes to him. And then he knows us. You know, we're his. He knows us. He knows his sheep. Calls him by name. And thankfully, we know him. And then he is gathered. And I know there's a gathering coming. And it could be in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye. And we could be with Jesus. Now, I think Benaiah was kind of like David's go-to guy. If he needed something done, you know, maybe his hitman, so to speak. I think Pastor had mentioned that once. It says he had done many acts. Now, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. And, I mean, these must have been some fierce guys if they likened them to lions. You know, they were, you know, probably like on steroids, you know, big, muscular, and fierce, you know, just violent. And he killed two of them. And I thought about David mentioning the lions in Psalms 57. And then he also slew a lion in the midst of a pit in time of snow. And you think about a lion in the wintertime, there's probably not a lot of food around, and lions get hungry and they get fierce. And he killed that lion. And this is my favorite. He slew an Egyptian who had a spear in his hand. And he went down with his staff and plucked the spear out of his hand and slew him with it. And there's a movie, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And the one thing I remember from it was this guy, Tuco, he was the bad guy. Well, I think he was the ugly, but he was a bad guy too. But he's taking a bath, and this guy walks in. He starts telling him, you know, I'm going to shoot you, and I'm going to take you out and cut you to pieces. And he just keeps going on and on what he's going to do to the guy. So then Tuco just shoots him. And he gets up and says, when it's time to shoot, shoot. Don't talk about it. And I could see Benaiah saying that to this Egyptian. I could see that Egyptian. Oh, I'm going to do this to you. And, you know, who are you? You know, kind of like Goliath, you know. And then he just walks up there and takes his own his own spear and slays him with it. Now it says here that he was more honorable than the 30, but attained not to the first three. And if you'll notice here, the third guy, there's no name mentioned of him. And Brother Hill always used to say he was wanted to do a sermon on Remember Joab. And I always wondered why, you know, and I was pretty young. I didn't know a lot back then. But I believe that this third one was Joab. He did a lot of mighty things. And God used him mightily. But I believe that he wasn't named because most of the mighty things that he did weren't because of his devotion to David, but for his own honor. And so I think that's all I'm going to say. But I know the time is short, and I know we're all in the battle. We're all in that cave of Adullam. But God is faithful, and I know he's going to bring us through because we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Let's not forget that. Thank you for listening.